This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Saini.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Business by the Bay. I'm Ajay Saini, and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault, expert in payroll services. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners. For details, please call Payroll Vault at 925-273-7020. Today, I'm in studio with Renee Gonzalez. She's a seasoned human resources executive with 30 years of experience in recruiting, employee relations, benefits administration, training, and payroll. She has proven ability to quickly identify challenges and find the most cost-effective solutions that positively impact the company while maintaining positive employee morale and motivation. She values a results-oriented environment and strives to develop a growth-oriented platform for employee improvement and company growth. She specializes in multi-generational workforces and always look for ways to find creative solutions to business challenges. Good afternoon, Renee. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, thank you.
So, Renee, why don't we start with your journey? What made you decide become an HR professional?
Sure. I actually, when I started going to college, I went to college to become a high school teacher. I had a passion for working with teenagers and felt that that was my calling. And once I got into college, I started working as a recruiter. Mm-hmm. A receptionist in a recruiting department to supplement my schooling. And by the time I finished schooling, I had continued on in a career of HR where I was actually making more and providing the benefits for my family than I would have been able to provide as a teacher. So I kind of just continued on that path and through the years have grown to really love working with employees, really love working for HR. I joke that in going to college for basically high school, I had learned specialized studies in adolescent communication, which really works well in human resources because we tend to be overgrown teenagers oftentimes. and so I've taken that passion for teaching and have turned it into a passion for training and development. And that's one of the areas that I really like to focus on when I'm working with companies is how can they grow their employees and how can they grow their leadership.
Pretty cool. So you work with a variety of businesses in different industries. So what are some of the common challenges you see businesses typically face?
The majority of the companies that I work with tend to be small to mid-sized companies. Mm-hmm. And some of their biggest challenges are competing for employees when you have large companies in the area, especially in the Bay Area where we're dealing with a lot of tech companies. It's really hard for small and mid-sized companies to compete when it comes to pay and benefits. They just can't provide it at the same level that Apple or Tesla can.
Right.
And so the challenges with that is that employers of small companies have to work even harder to find qualified employees that are willing to stay. And so it's not only hiring them, but it's retaining them. Another big challenge that small companies are faced with is once they get those employees, being able to keep those employees motivated and engaged. When you're dealing with employees that are of a younger generation, where their mindset isn't so much on how hard they need to be working and the loyalty to the company, but more on work-life balance and job jumping to be able to bring in more money.
Yeah, that's true. So, and very tough challenges.
Huge challenges, yes.
Yeah. So then what are some of the ways a business can address these challenges?
So one of the things that I tell some of my clients is they need to be creative in their hiring process. And so instead of looking for those skills that the employees have, focus on what the soft skills are. What are the things that are most important that will be successful for that employee? Is it the matter that they need to be on time every day? Is it the matter that they need to have attention to detail? Or do they need to be comfortable working around machinery? If you find people with those soft skills, you can teach them how to use the machinery. You can teach them how to learn the software. You can teach them how to do those harder skills, and the soft skills are already there in place. Once you find those diamonds in the rough, then you can mold them to be the type of employee that you're looking for.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is it that hire people where they are a good fit, soft skills wise, so that they are more sort of at home in terms of the environment that they are looking
for. Definitely, yeah. And oftentimes people are trying to get their feet wet in a particular environment. And so for smaller companies, if they're looking for those employees that maybe don't have the years of experience behind them, but have the willingness to work hard mm-hmm. and have the willingness to show up and be present on a daily basis, those employees you'll find will be much more wanted mm-hmm. in your working environment because they're willing to do the work that needs to be done.
Right, right. Makes sense. Yeah, very good. So hiring, like, you know, hire the right people and then retain them. For that, there has to be a focus,
yeah.
right? And for that, either they can have a person in the company who can do that, you know, HR department,
right.
for example, or they can outsource mm-hmm. it to another company who can take that responsibility. So how shall a business decide whether I should go for something in-house or I'll be better off outsourcing it?
Right. So the ideal HR balance that mm-hmm. a company should look for is for every 100 employees, you should have one full-time HR person.
Okay.
That's something I learned many, many years ago. Now, as technology has come into play, you can probably get by with a little bit more on the mm-hmm. employees and less on the HR person. But there's a lot of things in HR that go on behind the scenes that aren't technology related. Mm-hmm. And so best case scenario, 100 employees to one HR person. For those companies that have less than 100 employees, you can kind of go backwards. If you have about 50 employees, you could probably get away with a part-time HR person.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than that, you could really hire out and look for somebody who's more of an HR consultant who can provide you with services that can answer questions, help you with the one-off issue here or there, but mm-hmm. definitely not a dedicated person there on site all the time. Another area that you would probably want to consider outsourcing is if you have special projects going on. Say you're trying mm-hmm. to develop a training program for your employees, you're not quite sure how to do it. That's a great opportunity to bring in an HR consultant who understands how to educate employees.
Yeah. And then once you have that, potentially if you feel at some point of time it makes sense to get an in-house person as you grow.
Yes.
And you are, you know, 100 plus and then you are growing and there's in that scenario, one can always look into whether I should continue
right.
with an outsourced firm. Mm-hmm. If that makes more sense, mm-hmm. the employees are comfortable and yep. everything is working fine. Or do we need to, at that point of time,
right.
have more of a dedicated in-house
yeah.
person?
And oftentimes what smaller companies will do is they'll pawn off the HR responsibilities onto the office manager,
mm-hmm.
which an office manager is great for the day-to-day questions. They're great for answering what happened to my paycheck. They're great for answering what about my benefits. But when it comes to major employee issues, such as investigations, employee relations issues, behavioral issues, office managers oftentimes don't have the background and the knowledge of how to keep your company out of trouble. And mm-hmm. legal troubles are very popular in California.
Yeah.
We are a very litigious state and employees tend to win over the companies. And so it's important to have an HR partner that can help keep you in line mm-hmm. with what California requires.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially California, where you are essentially need to follow the rules really
yeah.
strictly. I mean, one has to follow the rules everywhere.
Correct.
But California, I guess, they become more sort of specialized where
yes.
you, if you want to follow, better you have some guidance mm-hmm. rather than trying to do on your own, because then if there is a little bit of confusion, you may not want to do something just out of ignorance.
Correct. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So talking about outsourcing, if one decides to outsource an HR, you know, professional, what are like some of the qualities to look for that, okay, who would be the right person or a right company?
Yeah. So oftentimes when you're looking to outsource, it's important to have an HR person who understands your industry.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing is very different from financial services. And so an HR person needs to understand what the challenges are in that specific industry, as well as what the challenges are with the types of employees that you're hiring. A manufacturing company is going to have mainly blue-collar workers that are
right.
working in the production lines, whereas a financial services company is going to have a lot more on the customer service side, a lot more on the behind-the-scenes programming and so on. And so you want to make sure that the HR person that you bring on has mm-hmm. an understanding of that specific industry. Another thing to look at is what is the personality of that HR person? Are they going to mesh well with your team?
Mm-hmm.
Because if their personality does not connect, you're going to have a really hard time getting the buy-in from your mm-hmm. managers and from your higher-ups, because they can't find a connection with that HR person.
Yeah. And I guess there it's more important a person who can manage with different types of personalities, because
mm-hmm.
in an office environment, if there are, let's say, 25 employees, those 25 employees will all not be the same.
Correct.
They will have different personalities. And so the HR person is flexible and can adapt, then it will work. But if the HR person is a very strong in one sort of one personality right. type and doesn't adapt, then that can cause sort of conflict.
Definitely. It's a matter of how the HR person engages. Are they engaging with your line employees just as well as they are with your managers? Mm-hmm. Some HR people are great at connecting at the top level, mm-hmm. but they have a hard time connecting with the lower level employees. And other HR people are great chatting it up with your line employees, but then struggle when it comes to your C-suite. So it's important to find somebody who can handle all different levels mm-hmm. of employees.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you've been doing it for 30 odd years, mm-hmm. right? And different capacity. Now you have your own company. So what do you think are some of your strengths?
Okay. Well, one of the things is that I really work to find a way to connect with each of my clients. And so whether it's understanding what their industry is, understanding what their specific needs are, or just we connect. And mm-hmm. that's, it's almost kind of hard to describe, but you need to have that connection with your HR person so that they can truly understand what your needs are. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to describe them as well, but once they get in there and look at it, they can say, oh yeah, I know what your problem is. Let's find a solution. I really pride myself in finding those solutions, but mm-hmm. I like to be creative with it. Let's mm-hmm. think outside of the box. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the statement, well, this is the way we've always done it. So this is the way we want to continue to do it. But in order to stay alive in today's world, you have to be willing to change and you have to be willing to consistently look for new ways to do things better. And that's one thing that I pride myself on is let's find ways to do it better than what we've always done. I also love to play in the gray area. Mm-hmm. It's very common for HR professionals to get stuck in that black and white of yes, you can, no, you can't. I would much rather answer a question of this is what the law says. Let's find a way to make it work mm-hmm. and play in that gray area so that companies can still do business mm-hmm. and still get the solutions that they need, mm-hmm. but do what they can to reduce the risk of getting into trouble.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point because at times, if we just try to be more of a police officer
yeah.
kind of a thing, that, okay, hey, you can't do this.
Right? Yeah.
In that case, we are actually, in one way, not even trying to understand what the problem is.
Right.
Why there are certain things that are being done. Mm-hmm. And then if we dig deep, there will be possibilities of doing things as per the law.
Right.
But also sort of get the job done.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, definitely. And business leaders don't want to be told no, they can't.
Yeah.
You want to know if it's not okay through the law, how do we find a way to make it work? Let's find mm-hmm. a solution.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I work really hard to do is to play in that gray area. Let's find ways to work or, you know, work around or work with the law mm-hmm. so that we can still meet the needs that we have, but be willing to be creative with the solution.
Right. And also for the benefits of the listeners, maybe you can also explain a bit of like various functions in HR mm-hmm. that all that
sure.
that you do.
Yeah. So HR is a pretty big area. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different specialties within it. Some of the areas would be recruiting, helping you find the right employees, and then onboarding those employees is a whole different process. So you've got recruiting, you've got onboarding, employee relations. If you have employees that are struggling in their role, maybe they're having behavioral issues, or maybe you've run into a situation where somebody has complained about being mistreated. Those are all HR focused. Mm-hmm. HR also deals with terminations, dealing mm-hmm. with preparing somebody to be terminated. Mm-hmm. And if you have somebody with disciplinary issues, how do you set them up towards termination so that you can keep yourself out of trouble? And your HR person should have a really good understanding of how to take the steps necessary to work somebody through those behavioral and then terminate. Other areas that HR is involved is learning and development, mm-hmm. Your training. How do you train your employees and how do you help them grow within their roles? And then dealing with benefits administration, payroll, you have a number of legal compliance areas mm-hmm. that HR has to be fully involved in, and they have to stay up to date because the laws are always changing.
Right. And also, it may come down to just not one state.
Yeah.
In today's environment, we have employees, say, in one state, and all of a sudden, we have seen, especially during COVID, mm-hmm. people move to different yeah. parts, and then suddenly you have employees in another state.
Exactly.
The rules are different there.
Yep. You have to base it off of where they're living, not where the company is.
Yeah.
And it depends on the size of the company. Companies as small as 5 employees have mm-hmm. state requirements that they have to meet up with in regards to harassment training, whereas other companies in other states don't have those requirements. And so mm-hmm. it's important to have an HR person who you're working with that understands what those requirements are and how they impact your company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. And then when you mentioned quite a few functions, so recruiting is straightforward in terms of, not recruiting is easy, but in terms of understanding recruiting, that,
right.
Okay, that's the process of hiring. The employees.
Yep.
And then once the employee is hired, onboarding, you mentioned onboarding. So onboarding would be all the paperwork. And
all
that
of the
is
paperwork,
required.
As well as the experience that mm-hmm. the employee has from even before they start with the company.
Mm-hmm.
One of the aspects of onboarding is that onboarding actually starts before the interview process does, because you want to make sure that the experience that the employee is having tells mm-hmm. them that this is a company they want to work for. One of the things that I'll tell my clients is I'll ask them, what does your website look like? Is it easy for somebody to apply online?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's today's world. It isn't mm-hmm. the matter of going through the newspaper and filling out an application anymore. Everything's done online.
Yeah.
So if an employee is looking to work for your company, what's the experience? Can they easily find your career page on your website?
Mm-hmm.
What are your ratings on Glassdoor or on Indeed?
Mm-hmm.
Because they will look that for that and they research that. Is this a company
yep.
that I want to work for? So I'll help companies build that employee brand to better understand what candidates are looking for. Why do they want to work for that company? For younger generations, what a company's mission is and what they stand for means a lot. And so they look for companies that match what their interests are. And then
yeah.
from there, once you start the interview process
mm-hmm.
and get the person hired,
mm-hmm.
all of that is part of that onboarding experience. Companies that have focused on their onboarding process and made improvements have shown that employees tend to stay longer when they've had a positive onboarding experience.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty interesting, because it's, you would think that once the onboarding is over, then it's like the actual work or the
yeah.
work environment would matter more.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that the whole experience can tell
yeah.
whether they'll stay longer or not.
Yeah, definitely. And then once a person is onboarded, checking in with them 2, 4, 6 weeks out, how's it going? Do you have any questions? Are there
mm-hmm.
any concerns? And really engaging that employee
mm-hmm.
so that then they can go back home and say, man, I really love this company I'm working for. Because
mm-hmm.
then if they are saying that you're a great company to work for, they will refer other good employees to you. And that's really where you find your best employees, is through your referrals.
Yeah, keeping them, you know, motivated and
exactly
let them enjoy the work environment
yep.
where they feel they are contributing.
Definitely. Employee engagement is huge.
Yeah. And for that, once they are there, you are, as you said, that feedback
mm-hmm.
and also, I guess, taking that feedback to the management
yeah.
and see if there are some changes that we need to do.
Definitely. That back and forth engagement always is better for a company instead of a one direction.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever you have doing your onboarding, if they're maintaining that connection with the employee, then they can look at what's working and what isn't, and where are we finding gaps
mm-hmm.
in the process, and how can we improve those?
Yeah. And also, if you are involved from the beginning, there's a higher probability that the employees feel like, and now I can see where you are coming from, like even with that experience, if the experience is positive,
mm-hmm.
the onboarding experience, the employee may develop trust
right.
with the HR person and then say that, okay, hey, I'm having this issue, let me talk to this HR person and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it could be, you know, anyone's fault or no one's fault, but once the HR person knows and can take that to the management, then it can be addressed, especially
right.
if it can be addressed in the beginning.
Yeah.
That can make a big difference.
Yeah, it really is a three-way partnership. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the manager and HR and the employee. And a good HR person will encourage the manager to be the stronger connection there.
Mm-hmm.
The stronger your connection is with your employee, the more loyal they'll tend to be.
Yeah.
You've heard the statement many times, employees don't leave bad companies, they leave bad managers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're working for somebody that they don't feel they can talk to, or working for somebody they don't feel they can trust,
huh?
they're less likely to stay in a job.
Right, right. So if we are part of that feedback loop, then we can identify, okay, there's some issue going
yes.
on and what can we do about it?
Yep,
and sometimes it can be as simple as communication or lack of communication. And sometimes it could be that, okay, we need to do something. We are
mm-hmm.
not doing something, or we are doing something wrong.
Yeah. And your HR person can definitely dig in to fully understand what that is and provide you with an unbiased feedback.
Yeah, so it's kind of a good neutral point
definitely.
In an ideal world
yeah.
for both the employee and the employer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that really makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you want to discuss any scenario or something that you think was, you know, can give a little bit of light on any of the HR aspect?
You know, I think that, after 30 years of experience, I could probably write a novel with the experiences that I've had. It's some really bizarre experiences and some just overall funny situations. But I think the key in being in HR is being willing to work in an organized chaos, because that's really what HR is organized chaos. But also be willing to laugh at yourself, have a good sense of humor, because you're going to run into situations on a daily basis where you're going to think, where did that come from? I think one of the biggest keys in my career that I've loved the most is working with the people, because the people are the number one asset of the company. And if your employees aren't happy, your customers aren't going to be happy, because employee happiness and employee engagement is what's going to communicate over to your customers. An employee who's happy in their job is going to care about what they're doing, whether it's building something on a production line or talking to a customer directly. And so when you're working with the employees on a daily basis and you're connecting with those employees, it gives you the ability to improve their lives and make them want to grow as individuals. I've worked with all different generations. I've worked with all different ages. And it all comes down to the same thing. Everybody wants to learn and they want to grow and they want to enjoy what they're doing, because we spend more time at work than we do at home. So how can we make that environment positive? And that's something that I really have loved the most, is getting to know my employees, understanding what drives them. I love walking through a work location and checking in with an employee that I've talked to in the past and said, hey, how was your son's baseball game on Saturday? And really talk to them and understand where they're coming from. When you get to know your employees at that level, that's where the trust and that's where the development really comes into play.
Excellent. So Renee, we are almost moving, you know, towards the end of the show. I would like to ask you, because you deal with, you know, a variety of industries and so many different types of businesses. Say a hypothetical situation where you are meeting a business owner or a group of business owners and you are asked for a suggestion. And it could be anything. What would you say?
I normally fall back on, how can we be creative about this solution? What is the least expensive, most productive way to fix the problem? Because as business owners, regardless of your size, you're always looking for ways to cut costs. You're always looking for ways to make it better. And so my number one priority is, how can we find a solution to the problem? Regardless of what the laws are, regardless of what the issue is, there's got to be a solution out there. Sometimes we have to be really creative. Sometimes it's easy to find. And so let's not look at that, this is how we've always done it statement. And let's look at, how can we improve it, or how can we fix it so that it works better going forward? And that's my fallback on just about every area, whether your issue is recruiting, your issue is employee behavior, your issue is your employee branding. How can we improve it? How can we fix it? And how can we do it in a cost-effective way that's going to bring the best results?
That's actually profound. While you were saying, I was just thinking that that mindset opens up so many options, because when we are thinking that this is the way we have been doing, we are stuck. So then the input won't change, because that's what we have been doing. And if that's what we'll continue to do, the output will always be similar. But then if there is a problem or there is a challenge and we think in different ways, then we can get inspirational ideas from even different industries.
Definitely.
So it's not like, oh, all the dentist office I've seen, they work this way.
Right.
But then maybe a law office does something that is different.
Right? Yep.
And if I'm willing to listen to maybe another industry, but okay, but it's similar challenge, there is a similar challenge and they did something good, then is there a way to implement in my industry something similar?
Definitely. Yeah. Think about it this way. If you've been in business for 10 years, how many cell phones have you gone through?
Yeah.
Multiple versions,
right?
They've updated through the years. Same thing goes with your practices and your procedures. You need to update them to keep them modern, to keep them working with the current needs of the industry.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, cell phone providers and cell phone companies will take technology from each other or compete with each other to be able to provide those pieces that the customers want. It's the same thing with other companies. You have to be willing to look and be willing to think creatively to find the better solutions.
Yeah. Otherwise, if we just go by same old story.
Yeah. You're not going to make it much longer in today's world. It's constantly changing, constantly evolving.
Yeah. And it can be technology, but it can also be the rules. It can be the business environment, the economy. There are so many things that, you know, change is pretty much constant.
Yeah.
And then how do we keep are employees engaged?
Right.
And if we are looking for solutions,
yeah,
then there is a solution. The question
there's
is
always a solution.
It may not be with me, but if I talk to right people, mm-hmm. then I'll get the right answers.
Absolutely. And if you're willing to adapt to that change, mm-hmm. change is hard.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like change.
Right.
And so you have to be willing to adapt, and you have to be comfortable with taking that a little bit of discomfort mm-hmm. so that then you can grow your business.
Yeah. Very good advice, Renee. So if any of our listeners want to reach you, what's the best way to contact
you? Sure. Best way to contact me is by email. It's Renee, R-E-N-E, at levelupsuccessinnovations.com.
Awesome. Great. So I really appreciate your time today and sharing your wisdom.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
So listeners, thank you for joining us on Business by the Bay today. This show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. You can find the recording of all the Business by the Bay shows on our website, businessbythebay.live. So we'll be back next week. Until then, take care and have a great weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.